Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 18 and 19 says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Father, we ask you to bless your word this morning. Father, we ask that the people will hear and that the people will understand, God, what you have to give to them this day, and we'll thank you for it again. In Isaiah 43 and 19, let me read it a little bit different way. It said, "I am going to do something new, and it is already happening. Don't you recognize," in other words, what he's saying is, "don't you recognize that I am going to do something new?" He said, "I will clear a way in the desert and I will make rivers in the dry land." God can make an agent of change if we will not become a victim of sin. God will make a change in your life if you don't become a victim of sin. In the present, now just stay with me. I'm going to lay a little bit of a foundation here. In the present world, we are perplexed as we're unable sometimes to make what we call proper decisions. But when God becomes our guide and the Bible assures us that we can hear the voice of God, then this is the way that he can make a change in our lives if we will listen to the voice of God. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 27 and verse number 11, it says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes." Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 13 says, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people." In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 21, it says, "And thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, this is the way. When you turn to the left hand, this is the way. When you feel like you can't go on any further, God's saying, this is the way. If you'll just follow his way today, whatever situation that you're in, God can make a change in your life. He instructs us and he teaches us the ways that we should go. I remember back in 1972, and I have never forgotten this in all of these years. Back in 1972, I was drafted into the Army, and it was one of the most terrifying things that I felt like I was ever going to face in my life. But I was dating a young lady back in that time, and her name was Barb Henderson. And before I got on that bus to go to Fort Leonard Wood, she gave me a little promise card, and I have hung on to that since 1972 all the way to 200 a year 2017, and it's found in Psalms 32 and 8, and he said, "I will instruct thee and I will teach you in the ways that thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with my life." There was times when I was there on my bunk all alone, absolutely scared to death as a young man, but I begin to listen and I begin to read that scripture over and over and over and over. And I have not forgot that scripture to this day. Because God said, "I will instruct thee me, and I will teach you the ways, and I will show you the way that you'll go, and I can make a change if you'll just listen to me. God also said in Isaiah 43 and verse number 19, listen, I'm going to read it again because it makes so much sense. He said, I am going to do something new. How many want something new in your life from God today? How many want something brand new? He said, I am going to make something new. And he said, it's already happening. Church, today, if we can just grasp a hold of that, if we can just hang on to that thought, that God is making a change and that it's already happening. The problem with the church world today is they're waiting for it to happen. And God said, I've already started it. All you've got to do is just reach out and know that I am still God. Because he said, don't you recognize it? Don't you see it? Brother Jimmy, bring that back up. He said, I'm going to do something new and it's already happening. Don't you recognize it? I will clear a way in the desert. Oh, church, today, sometimes we feel like we're walking where there is no water. Sometimes we feel like we're walking in the desert where we have no strength. Sometimes we feel like, God, I cannot take another step. But God is saying, I'm going to do something new. I will instruct thee and I will teach you and I will show you the way that you need to take. For God to fulfill that promise to Isaiah, he had to bring a change. When God does a new thing, that means that there are changes about to happen. How many want to see this church packed out for God? How many want to see souls crying around these altars? How many want to see people talking in other tongues around these altars? How many want people to say, if you want to feel God, go to Souls Harbor Church of God and know that God is there? If we need a change, things have to happen in order to have a change. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift from God. That's why we call it the present. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift of God. Church, today we need to receive from God. Because in the Psalms 118:24, we sing it around here all the time. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice. Do you want something happening? The Bible says this is the day. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. But the Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we need to rejoice and we need to be glad in it today. The Lord did not grant us, listen to me, everybody's total attention here. The Lord did not grant us another day on earth for us to worry about our finances. He did not grant us another day on this earth for us to worry about our health. He did not grant us another day on this earth so that we could walk around and say, oh, woe is me. But church, he said in Philippians chapter 4 and 6, he said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, present your request to God. He said, don't be anxious. Don't be worried about what comes. If you want to change in your life, you've got to change the old things that are there. If you want change in your life, there has to be something new begin to dwell up within our lives. I'm afraid sometimes, and I don't mean to be hard, but I'm not the pastor, so you can't fire me, so I can say it. Sometimes I think we come to church just because it's a habit. I think sometimes we come to church and we just sing the songs and we clap our hands. I think sometimes we just come to church just because you don't want the pastor calling you and asking you where you're at. But church, when we come in that door, we need to come in that door with an attitude attitude of praise. We need to come into that door with an attitude of worship. We need to come into that door and saying, God, whatever you got to do, I'm not going to leave like I come. God, I'm going to make a change to you, because I'm not going to become a victim of the devil today. But I'm afraid what our motto is why pray when you can worry and fret? Why pray when you can worry and fret? We can worry, we can fret about this, that, and the other, and sure enough, you're going to become defeated. But church, give it to God. Give it to God and let him take over. His promise is that he will never leave us, or that he will never forsake us if you'll make a change. Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a man that he should lie, not a man that he should repent. Has he said it? Will he not do it? Has he spoken it? It will not make it good. God said it. We believe it. It's true. But what the problem is if we want God to say it, and so many times we don't believe what God is really saying that he's able to do. We're not able to see a salvation around the, oh my God, a church today, what a wonderful sight it would be if people felt so much of the convicting power of the Holy Ghost in our church that they could only grab with their knuckles on the back of that pew because of the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, that they literally have to run down these altars and find Jesus Christ. This is the God that I'm saying today will make a change in your life. Be an agent of change and understand the goodness of God. To be a victim is to fall in the snares of the devil. James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shifting shadows. God's grace pours out all those who will trust in him. How many want more of God's grace in your life? How many want more of God's understanding in your life? How many literally wants God to lead, guide, and direct your path? Your pathways. This is the God that I'm serving today. In John chapter 1 and verse 16, I kind of give these scriptures to Jimmy yesterday at breakfast, and he said, no, he said, this is too many. You can't give all of these out. He said, what I'm going to do is, he said, I'm just going to put the Bible in there, and I'll deduct the ones that you don't use. Oh, but church, there's something about the Word of God. You can claim the victory with the Word of God. John chapter 1, because of the grace of God, in verse number 16 says, out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us blessings one after another. Romans 3:24 says, but by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Jesus Christ, who sets them free. Who wants a change in their life? God is able to perform it. Who wants a change within their lives? Okay, how do we experience God's grace? We come to the Lord in our weakness. We come to the Lord in our inabilities. We come to the Lord in our sins. We come to the Lord in our failures. Church today, there's not a person in the sound of my voice that is perfect, perfect, perfect. We make mistakes. We falter. We fail. We may do things that are not exactly right. But God is just waiting for you to come back unto him and say, Lord, here am I. Make a change again within my life. Oh, God, make a change within our lives. To get the grace of God, we choose to believe his love and his ability to change us as we rest in his grace. And because of his grace, this is what we call the result is that we begin to grow in God. We begin to see a change in our lives. We begin to see new things happening within our lives. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18 said, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When they start singing that song, I nearly jumped out of my seat. Because if you want to change your life, on church today, we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. But we don't have to hang on to the world. We come unto him, and he'll make a change within our lives. I want to read it again. It said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, don't be, you know what, I told you I wanted you to listen to me this morning, and I do. But I don't want you to just sit there like a bunch of mummies. I want you to clap your hands. I want you to say amen. I want you to say glory to God. Because if you want a change in your life, you've got to realize that you've got something that the world can't give. And the world can't take it away. We've got something that we're shouting about. It makes me sing and it makes me shout. Because I've got something that the world can't give. And the world can't take it away. We sing the song around here. It said, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. I am more than a conqueror. That is who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Now, the second part of this sermon is this. One of the first messages that Jesus ever preached is found in Matthew 4:17. And this is what he said. He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye, and that's the same message that we've got to protrude to the world today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I was at work the other day, and there was a man that he was not completely playing with a full deck. You know, he was, I don't want to go into what it was or anything like that. But he began to get this real loud voice talking to somebody. I think he was talking to himself. But he began to say over and over and over again, in 49 days, I'm going to have a new body. In 49 days, I'm living this world. In 49 days, he said, I'm not even going to see my next birthday. In 49 days. I don't know what's going to happen in 49 days at church today, but I do know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he comes back in 49 days, I'm ready. If he waits past 49 days, I'm ready. But church today, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I don't know what your life is with the Lord today, but listen to me real close. Repent means to change and to turn your life around. It means to put off the old man. It means in the ways of the flesh to put on the new man and the new character of God. Do you want to be an agent of change or a victim of sin? Do you really want, you know what, I can't live a Christian life because it's too hard. The thing with the world today is we've got people that are trying to hang on to God, and we've got people that are trying to hang on to the devil. And this is how they're walking around. No wonder they're confused. No wonder they can't get the victory, because they can't let loose of the things of the world and just grab a hold of the nail-scarred hand of God and have total change in their life. To receive salvation, it means to change the way that you think, to change the way that you say, and to change the way that you act. Repentance is a long life process of conforming our thoughts, our feelings, and our words and our actions to the kingdom of God. Jesus taught us to pray to God. Jesus taught us to pray to God. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is nothing less than God saying, let loose of the things of this world and be attached to the kingdom of heaven. Be attached to God today. Now, we as individuals cannot bring the world. Listen to me. I'm trying to get through all of this today. We as individuals, we cannot bring change to the world or our country or our city or our neighborhood or even our families and friends to do the will of God. But we can begin to do the will of God within our own lives. And when people see a change in you, they're going to wonder what's going on. They're either going to say he's a fanatic, or they're either going to say he's crazy. They're either going to say he's just nuts, not wanting to really live the life out in the world. But church, today, in order to get people to follow Christ, we need to change our lives first. We need to have a new change. We need to become an agent of change. We need to have new things happen within our lives. This is the repentance, to stop doing our will and the will of society and begin to do God's will instead. True repentance is necessary for salvation. Not merely just sorrow that one's sins are known, but total transformation and total knowledge that all sin is distested by a pure and holy God. A knowledge that our sins are against God and as well as others. The most dangerous thing and the most dangerous trend in the 21st century is religion without God. It's Christianity without Christ. It's forgiveness without repentance. It's politics without morals. It's heaven without hell. And that's what we're living in today. Everybody wants to take Christ out of everything. Everybody wants to just have nothing to do with this man that died upon the cross for their sins. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. There's a song that I know, and I'm not sure that we sing it around here. I think we do, but we need to make a difference. But it says, change me, O God. Change me, O God, and make me more like you. Change me, O God. Wash me through and through. Create a new heart with a clean heart within my life that I may worship you. Change me, O God, and make me more like you. That is my prayer today. Oh God, change me. Let me grow in you. Let me become closer to you. Oh God, when all the world is forsaken, God, make me clean and make me pure and make me, Lord, change today. God is not against you, church. God is not against you. The devil is saying that you're just doomed for hell and that there's really nothing about this Christianity. But let me tell you something. God is not against you. He came to this world on an all-out rescue mission to save you from your sins and to set you free. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Acts 13:38 says, therefore, my friends, I want you to know, listen to me, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from sin. My question to you again today is, do you want to become an agent of change or remain a victim of sin? The message that Jesus addressed, the deepest need any person will ever have, is that precisely is why Jesus came in Luke 19 and 10, where he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. The greatest need any person ever has, the greatest need any person will ever need, is salvation within their lives. But there can be no salvation without repentance. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, you will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. confess them and give them up, then God will show mercy to you. Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God, that he will forgive you of your sins. On the cross, Christ died for your madness. On the cross, Christ died that you could have life and that you have it more abundantly. We must confess our sins in order to make that change. Don't waste your life today. Don't waste your life today. Being a man or a woman of God is a manner of being humble and truthful about your sins. Oh, I've got this little thing that the pastor don't know about, so I'm okay. I've got this little thing that maybe my wife don't know about or my husband, but it's okay. It's hidden inside here. Oh, but to make a total change, you've got to give it all to Jesus and let him be in total control. D.L. Moody said, grace means undeserved kindness. It is the gift of God to man the moment that he sees that he is unworthy of God's favor. Let me read that again. It said, grace means undeserved kindness. It is the gift of God to man the moment he sees he is worthy of God's favor. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How does God change? He sent his son to die that you could have life and that you could have it more abundantly. But in a changing world today, we have a changeless Savior. He is still the way. He is still the truth. He is still the life. He is still the only means of forgiveness of sins. And he is our only assurance to spend an eternity in heaven. And he is still seated in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and for me. That's the purpose of being an agent of change. There was a boy and his father that was driving down a country road on a beautiful spring afternoon. When a bumblebee flew into the car window, the little boy, who was allergic to bee stings, was petrified. The father quickly reached out and he grabbed the bee and he squeezed it in his hand and then he released it again. The boy grew frantic and as it buzzed by him again, once again the father reached out his hand. But this time, when he had the bee in his hand, he opened it up and he looked at the little boy and he said, see this? He said, I've taken the sting for you. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Is that not just like Jesus? He said, I've taken the sting for you. He said, I've taken it for you. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to try to wrap this up now. He is both perfect and he is changeless. And because of that, all of his works that he has promised us, he's promised us his promises. Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. They will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames will not set you on fire. His work is that he will perform his purpose in your life. Exodus 9:16 says, but I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you the power, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. No wonder the author can speak of his unshakable kingdom that awaits us. Eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither has it entered in the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for you and for me. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 and 2 said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. having an unshakable kingdom founded and secured by a perfect and unchangeable great high priest, it gives us every reason in the world to finish the race that we're going. An agent of change and not a victim of sin. It says, I shook my head in disbelief. This couldn't be the right place. After all, I couldn't possibly be welcome here. I had been given an invitation several times by several different people and had finally decided wanted to see what this place was all about. But this just couldn't be the right place. Quickly, I glanced down at the invitation that I clutched in my hand and I scanned past the words that said, come as you are. No jacket required, and I found the location. Yes, I was in the right place. I peered through the window again and saw a room of people whose faces seemed to glow with joy. All were neatly dressed, adorned in fine garments, and appeared strangely clean as they dined at this eloquent restaurant. Ashamed, I looked down at my own tattered and torn clothing. It was covered in stain, and I was dirty, and in fact, I was filthy. And in fact, there was a foul smell that seemed to consume me, and I couldn't shake the grime that clutched to my body. As I turned around to leave, the words from the invitation seemed to look at me again. It said, come as you are, no jacket required. I decided to give it a shot, mustering every bit of energy and courage I could find. I opened the door to this restaurant and walked up to a man standing behind the podium. The man looked at me and said, your name, sir? He smiled at me, and I gave him my name, and I mumbled without even looking up. I thrust my hands deep into my pocket, hoping to conceal their stains. He didn't seem to mind or notice the filth that I was covering, and he continued, very good, sir. A table is reserved for your name. And sure enough, I went over, and there was my name written out in deep, dark red. As I browsed over the menu, I saw many delightful items listed. There were things like peace, joy, blessings, confidence, assurance, hope, love, faith, and mercy. And then I realized this was no ordinary restaurant. I flipped the menu back to the front to see what it was called. And the name of the restaurant was called God's Grace. The man from the podium returned and said, sir, I recommend the special of the day. With it, you are entitled with all of these things that you just seen. I looked at the man and I said, you've got to be kidding. I thought to myself, you mean I could have all of this? Why, sir, what is the special of the day? I asked with excitement ringing in my voice. And the man from the podium looked back and said, the special of the day is salvation. I looked at him and I said, I'll take it. I practically cried out, and then as quickly as I made that statement, the joy left my body. A sick, painful ache jerked through my stomach, and tears filled my eyes. Between my sobs, I said, mister, look at me. I'm dirty and I'm nasty. I'm unclean and I'm unworthy of such things. I'd love to have all of this, but I just can't afford it. And Dalton, the man, smiled and said, sir, your check has already been taken care of by the gentleman over there. And I looked over there and it said, his name is Jesus. This man became an agent of change and did not become a victim of sin. You may say you're not worthy. You may say I've got things in my life that are not right. But Jesus is still standing at the door saying, come unto me. Because if any man will knock, I will open the door and come in and sup with him and he with me. Our prayer should be, oh God, help me to be an agent of change that I might be the person you want me to be.
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message. And in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.